Right now on VFN TV, you're going to find out about a prophetic encounter I had with God. He took me to his throne room and let me be standing outside of open doors. We're hearing about open doors, the holiness of God, the power of God, the awesomeness of God. We're going to take you there today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh, hello, man. I am so excited. I mean, God is just speaking in so many levels about things that are going on, and I love to hear his voice.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? God does speak. You know, ears to hear, right? Yes. And eyes to see.
Well, I think about, you know, Job 33. If you read the book of Job, chapter 33 says God speaks. God speaks to a man. He speaks to him in his sleep. I mean, so many things came. The wisdom that God gave Solomon, that was a dream that God taught to him. The name that and the fatherhood that Joseph would have with Jesus came in a dream over and over again, dreams and visions and things that are going on. But even the last days language, in the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people,
flesh,
and that your young people will prophesy, the old ones will have dreams and all these different things. So it's a language of God.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Every dream is not from God, but the ones that are of God are totally amazing. And so I had this dream. I want to be able to share this with you, but the Lord took me literally and stood me outside the door. I mean, you read Revelation chapter 4 and he says that an angel took him and put him outside. There was an open door in heaven. And you hear people talk about just so casually about God, and he's so awesome, he's so holy that he had to give his son to give us access. So it's he's still holy. Read Revelations, that's the future, you know, about how his holiness. And I did my best trying to put into words what I saw when I was sharing at the VFN Dream Center. And I want you to be able to hear this, because this is an encounter that God gave me, which I'm grateful for. But I'm doing my best to begin to explain it. As a matter of fact, we're going to stay with this over the program, and you're going to be able to get it in its entirety by going to vfnkb.com and just click on specials right there at the top. You know, it's just yours for free, no problem at all with that. But we just want you to have the whole thing. But listen, this is going to encourage you. It's going to inspire you. Like one man told me recently in my office when he's hearing about this, you know, because he's a rugged man. He's a hardworking man. But he said, that's what I need. I need to know God in that way. And I believe that if he showed me, he will show you too, and it'll change your entire perspective when you're standing outside or at the throne room of God. You're going to be looking for Jesus. So let's go to the VFN Dream Center now, where I begin to try to share what the Lord showed me. Take a look. So I was in this particular vision, this dream, and I was riding along in a car, and I'm talking to people about what God's doing, and the people are not listening to what I'm saying. And I said, you know, that I wanted to go to do what God was going to do. And then I said, well, Pat will go, right? And so next thing you know, I am, there's racial tensions going on in the nation, in this dream. And I'm coming up. I begin to rise up slowly. And so slow, I couldn't really tell that I was going up until all of a sudden I was about 12, 15 feet, something like that. You all right? Okay, a little nervous this thing. I started going up, and then I realized about 20, 25 feet, I'm thinking like, I'm going to fall. What's going on right here, right? And then I started going up a little bit higher. And then I started thinking about my family. I'm like, oh my goodness, my family. You know, what about them? Then I thought, God, you got them. And when I said, you got them, all of a sudden, I was straight up. Then I went backwards, and it was like, my spirit, man, I was being pulled up. My legs are kind of hanging back like this. And I go, I'm like, this is it. I'm gone. And I'm going to this cloud. I'm talking to you about the first door because I got another door I'm going to talk to you about that God just talked to me about. Then I go through this hole in the cloud. I'm thinking, this is it, right? Then all of a sudden, I ended up by a door. And it was just one door. And on this little patio, and I opened this door up. And it was like old cabinets. And it was like not heaven. But it was something God was doing. He was opening doors here horizontally. That was about a dream about God opening doors. So
maybe you had times where God's opening doors for you at the workplace and relationship, and that's a different kind of door. I'm not talking about that door today. But that was God saying, you know, I'm going to open some doors for you. I'm going to give you favor, and these things are going to happen. He's done it. I mean, obviously, been pretty awesome. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, you can turn there. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, this is a different place. When I open that door up, you know, God's going to reestablish his cabinet. You know, God is a God of authority. If anybody was there during the pastor's question and answer session, you realize that I'm not the only one that moves in authority. He made her stand up right in the middle of everything. He said, her. Okay, so you have to do that. The enemy comes in and destroys the whole family if you don't do that. And so Isaiah chapter 6 talks about a different place. Everybody see a different place. When we're talking about heaven and portholes and gates, and we're talking about doors being open in heaven, it's a different door than the doors you see horizontally in your encounters of your life. Totally different door. And so all of a sudden in Isaiah chapter 6, it reads in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, it filled the temple, and above him were the seraphim. Each had six wings, and with two, he covered his face. So, see, the angel had six wings, but two of the wings he would cover. God's awesomeness, the angels would cover their face with God. Y'all got that? They got six wings. So two of those wings, they would cover their face. And with two others, they covered their feet. And with the other two, they flew. So you had feet covering, face covering, and only two of them were flying. And you can read more about that a little bit later on. And they were saying, holy, 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 declaring is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, now they're in heaven, in the throne room of God, but they're saying the whole earth is filled with his glory. And they're in the presence of his glory, so they're covering their face, they're covering their feet, and they're staying in his presence. And he says, and the foundations of the threshold shook. So they're in this threshold, this doorway, and it's shaking and it shook. And the voice of him who called began to shake the house, and the house was filled with smoke. I mean, does that get your attention if you're in a room like that? And it's like, holy, 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 the whole earth filled with his glory. Right? So that's the kind of door I'm talking about. That's the kind of door that this whole week's been about. And that's what God talked to me about. So I'm not talking about, you know, a door in your workplace. We're talking about a holy door. You know, one of the moments at Brownsville was revival with Steve Hill was about repentance. It was about getting sin out of your life every single night. And whether you repented 5 minutes ago, you still wanted, the draw was so intense, you just wanted to pray. But you had to work the altar, so you couldn't go, give me a moment. Dear Lord, I'm sure there's something. Lord, forgive me. And it was just God was pulling people to a place of repentance so that he could be in relationship with us. You have to understand, if we come close to him with sin and saying that we don't want to deal with it, then his very presence deals with it. It's not, God loves us so much that he made a way to deal with sin. But if we think it's not a big issue, then we find out it's a big issue, right? So here's Isaiah. And Isaiah said, woe is me. So the angels are like this. They're covered. They're flying. They're declaring the glory of God. It's on the face of the earth. They're in the presence of the throne room. And he's saying, this prophet that prophesied about Jesus coming, he's saying, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am lost. There's something about coming in the presence of God and the holiness of God that we become totally aware of our state. And it's important to understand, he knew our state before we knew our state. So don't think, I mean, God draws near to us, but what we have to do is make adjustments in our life. God doesn't adjust. He just doesn't adjust. He's God. He's fully God. He exists outside of time. He always was. And so he's holy and he's righteous. Righteous means it's already been established and is not changing. So anything that has to come to him has to be rightly fitting into that situation. And the only one that did that is who? It's Jesus, right? And so Isaiah says, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isn't it amazing? The first thing he begins to think about is everything he ever said. You know, of all the sin that he thought about at that moment in the presence of God, he didn't think about sins of the hand, sins of the eye, sins of the feet, where he went, all the different kinds of stuff. He thought about, what have I been saying with my mouth? And this is a prophet. This is a prophet. I remember during the Brownsville Revival that the most amazing thing to me at that time was how many pastors got saved. How many people who have been talking about Jesus for years. You know, they just kind of watched it. They watched church. They saw it as a, I can do that. You know, especially if you're a great studier and you can, I mean, the Pharisees had the Bible memorized. But they called the word itself Satan. They called Jesus Satan. And so, if all the things he is like, his mouth, he says, man, he says, woe is me, for I am a man, I am lost. He realized his state. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people who say the same stuff, who have unclean lips. Isn't that amazing? Everybody say words matter. People say they don't matter, but you got a 50-year-old man laying on some psychiatrist's couch talking about what his daddy said to him when he was 8. Words matter. Words matter what you say to people, what you speak over them, and what you speak over yourself. God speaks good things over you. Like the song that we just sang, that he sings over you before you even began your life. He sung over you. He loves you. But he's holy. Right?
This is so awesome. You know, I'm trying to put into words an encounter with God at his throne room, standing outside the door. And I'm going to continue. As a matter of fact, we get before this break, we're going to continue to just, I'm just believing that this is going to be imparted to you. As a matter of fact, you can find this as an entirety. It's available for you at vfnkb.com. Hit specials and it'll be there for you, special offers. It's just yours to be able to watch and to soak in and realize, you know, ask God to do the same for you. But it changes your total perspective of everything in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, we get back from this break, we're going to pick up where we left off. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Find someone that'll burn by themselves.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store and or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I am sharing with you a prophetic encounter that God gave me where he took me to his throne room. I'm trying to put it into words, and I've been sharing it. As a matter of fact, if you call it the early part of this program, I've been sharing it. But we're going to pick up where I left off. This is so important. As a matter of fact, we have this as a gift for you. You get the whole thing in its entirety as a gift. Go to vfnkb.com. You can see it on your screen and just go to special offer there at the top and it'll take you right to it and you can watch the whole thing in its entirety. But I believe God's speaking to us. You have to remember the holiness of God and the awesomeness of Jesus. As a matter of fact, join us. We're going to go join right now at the VFN Dream Center where I'm trying to put this into words. Check it out.
And then he says, you know, for I live amongst people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. The angels covered themselves, and they were declaring his holiness, but Isaiah looked and lived, right? And so we're talking about what I'm going to try to explain to you about is understanding what God's doing, that God, not the God that people describe as not him, not this God that you can do anything, say anything, you can call him your fishing buddy, Lord. I mean, you co-pilot, all these different things, and a man upstairs, a man in general, calling him man, and just being so familiar with whoever you think, that's not God. But people can talk about God, a God, for their whole life, but then you can encounter him, and then all of a sudden we're like Isaiah going, what was I thinking? You know, somebody says, you know, oh, I don't know if I could abide. But once you meet him, you're like, once you understand, first of all, that you can abide with him. Second, like, who am I to say that I'm going to do this without him? Right? And it's verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal. Now, you know about the tabernacle where that coal came from, right? The heavenly tabernacle, the one that's the true, not the shadow, but took that coal. And think about a coal now. Have you ever touched it? I mean, hopefully you haven't. They're very hot, right? They're so very hot. And so they took the coal. This is what sin is. Took that hot coal and touched his lips with a hot coal. Don't do that. But understand, you know, this is prior to Jesus going and offering his blood up. And he took the tongs from the altar, grabbed the coal in verse 7, and he touched my mouth with that coal from the altar, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt has been taken away, and your sin has been atoned for. See, when God reveals himself, don't run. Don't go, I'm busy. Realize what's going to happen when God reveals himself. He's revealing things in our life to be able to give us an opportunity to get right with him. Some people are like, I just felt sinful. It's like, hello, Isaiah felt sinful. And Isaiah. No, Isaiah. And so God knows about our sin condition, but it's not a condition that we have to live amongst sin. We can make decisions to leave our life of sin. It's called repentance. Everybody say repentance. And then verse 8 says, and then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Isn't it interesting? It began with seeing the Lord, revealing the holiness of God, the unholiness of Isaiah, God dealing with the issue of sin, and immediately saying, now I want you to go and tell people about me. Does that make sense? God's always looking for those who will go and tell people about him. He's always looking. That's what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus went from town to town, city to city, telling people about the love of God, healing, giving everybody an opportunity to know him and to walk with him. People said, why don't you stay here? You'd make a pretty awesome president. You know, you'd be a great mayor for our city. And he said, no. He says, I must be about the Father's business. So what's the Father's business? Seeking and saving those that are lost. But what happens before that is an encountering a holy God. Because if you start talking about a God that you don't know yet, or that you're familiar, something that you built, you know, people say, we don't have idols. Well, you talk to people, you'll find out they built this kind of God and they built that kind of God. They use the same verbiage, but it's like, I don't know that one. And the further you get away from the Word of God, the strangest things people built and call God. And so once he became aware of his holiness, of God's holiness, he became aware of his unholiness, but he was willing to go and see the Lord. And God dealt with the sin in his life, and he was willing to have the sin dealt with in his life. Do you know, there's a better life for you outside of sin. Sin, as one of the elders said, you know, is pleasure for a day. A day. Think about it. A day. That's why the enemy has to constantly create new sin, new ideas, and ways to trap you, because there's no pleasure in sin. It's just he creates something else. You know, you have to understand the eye. Your eye, this is what the Word of God says about your eye. Has anybody heard about a black hole? You heard of a black hole in space? That's about what your eye is. It can never get enough. It can never get enough. Your eye will never get enough. But isn't it interesting? There's so much stuff for your eye today that you could stay on the internet forever, taking more stuff in and more stuff in. It's like, you don't need to know about Afghanistan right now. You need to find about God. That just keeps taking stuff in. It's like, you have to understand, you're never going to have enough. At some point, you got to say, I'm going to stop this. Quit filling my eyes with television and media and all this junk, because media comes at us at every angle now. TV is like an old analog system. And say, I am not going to, because it will never be satisfied. Your eyes will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. And he calls that the lust of the eye. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything's tied to those three things. And Jesus said specifically, he says, listen, if your eye offends you, and what he's saying is that eye causes, if what you're doing with your eyes is leading you to sin, I mean, Jesus said, gouge your eye out. I would say, gouge that thing out of your life, whatever that thing is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's free, it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone. You know, some people, you know, they can't watch a house remodel because in their heart, they're envying the house. They want that house. They lust up the house. They're not, they become dissatisfied with their own house. But somebody else looks at a woman or a man and they become dissatisfied with their spouse. You know what I'm saying? Or they look at money in someone else's hand. They got more money, and all of a sudden they get dissatisfied with the money. You know what I'm saying? It's all lust.
This is so important, because I'm talking about, you know, specifically, you know, what it was like for me when I'm standing outside these open doors the throne room of God, which is totally filled with the power and the presence and everything you read about, plus all God. I mean, it's just all God. And what you find out about yourself instantly is who you're not.
That's an instant encounter, right?
Right. You know, when somebody says, you know, it's time to pick up the check, somebody says, where's my wallet?
Yeah.
Well, when you're standing in front of the at the throne room of God, you're going, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Yeah. There's nothing. As a matter of fact, you know, we're just gonna, as a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to pick this up. We're going to actually continue this on. I think we should.
All right.
And I'm going to, because I went for time trying to explain. I'm trying to build on how this, to get understand what it was and what God showed me to help you understand. Because this is the double door blessing, the open doors. Everybody's talking about the doors and everything
That's
taking
right.
place. But I got to, I'm trying to tell you, God showed me what's on the other side of the door. And, you know, God's presence, you know, deals with sin, but Jesus, through Jesus, he forgives sin. And so we tell people about Jesus so that they can have a relationship with God through him. And that's one thing that we did. You can find out at meetmyfather.org. You know, find out about our stories as well. But I just want to encourage you right now, you know, to join us tomorrow as we continue this, showing this explanation. And you can get it in its entirety. You know, go to vfnkb.com. You can see it on your screen. Just click on the menu up there, special offer. It's our gift to you. It's just our gift to you. And you can watch it in its entirety because there's no way we're going to be able to show all this to you. But the Lord was all over me when I'm talking about it. I'm trying to explain it. I'm talking in fear and trembling because I'm thinking, like, how much should I say? And, you know, what is this? You know, how do I do this? And but understand this. There's nothing that fits in the presence of God other than God.
Hmm.
Not your ideas, not your works, not your religion, not your good works, not, you know, all your things that you built or didn't do or whatever. It's just irrelevant. What's relevant? I mean, it's relevant with one way. If, in fact, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's only Jesus. It is only Jesus. But Jesus is everything. You have to make it right with Jesus. You have to come to him. That's why so many false religions deny him, because they're denying you the one gateway into the gateway of God. And so he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, any other way, trying to come to God as a thief and a robber. And let me tell you something. If you think you're going to show up as a thief and a robber at the throne room of God, you're not going to.
It's not going to work.
You're not going to want to show up.
If you don't
up.
Have the right garments, you're not going to get it.
What I saw, you don't want to show up with nothing but Jesus, you know, the blood of Jesus on your life. And with that, then he sees no sin. You're in right standing with him, and then you can fit, and you're okay, and you'll enter into his throne room. But I just want to pray with you right now, and join us in our next program, because we're going to continue on with this. And like I said, you can go to vfnkb.com, and at the menu up there, just go to special offers, our gift to you. Just want to give it to you in its entirety, so you can just listen to this full. You might want to listen to it a couple of times and ask God to give you that same encounter, because it puts everything into perspective. That's where we're going to spend eternity, you know, in answering for our life, the great white throne of judgment and the presence of God and the holiness of God, Revelation chapter 4. We'll talk more about that as I begin to share in our next program, but I want to pray with you right now. John, isn't this awesome?
This is amazing. We need this.
Yes.
We need this revelation.
Yeah.
Because we are going to meet him. Everyone's going to have an appointed. The Bible says it's an appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment.
Yeah.
And so we want to be ready and we want to enjoy his presence because it's readily available.
He loves you. He's present. He's awesome. Also, comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We want to hear from you and what God's saying to you as well. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you. I'm just humbled, Lord, the fact that you would even show me what you showed me. I'm grateful. Lord, speak even more to me, God, about what you want known, God, and we'll reveal it, what you whisper in our ears. Father God, we'll shout it from the rooftops. I pray for all of our viewers and listeners right now, God, that you would just encounter them, Father God, that you would reveal yourself to them, show your glory to them, Father God. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, and also, dear God, end abortion, send revival,
Lord.
Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front line. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.